I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 13th, 2025. And for those of you who ask, my knee is feeling better. I am up and fully mobile today. There's still a little bit of stiffness, but I'm doing good. Let's get into it. First up, BC giving everybody flashbacks to 2021. Instead of pulling stuff off the shelf to put it back on the shelf, they have evolved from the Ontario strategy, and they're just covering everything over in plastic. And I would have you note, they're not doing this for Chinese products when China is also charging Canada tariffs right now. Yes, we are only hysterical about one nation, the United States, our best trading partner. Alex Zoltan says, I've just been informed that this carny liberal elbows up phrase refers to elbowing someone in hockey, presumably in the head. So the same liberals who told us honk honk meant Hail Hitler think a slogan about giving a president a brain injury is totally acceptable. That's because the liberals have no moral center, and they never have. The left just does whatever they do, with the ends in their mind justifying the means, but they don't have a moral center, which is why they can so readily condemn people for supposed acts of word violence at the same time as they advocate for physical abuse. And with elbows up, we should also know that our military now accepts recruits with asthma, ADHD, and other conditions amid staffing shortage. Yes, we are short in our small, only 50% deployable military of 64,000 members, roughly. We can only deploy 50%. That's probably a high number. And we're 16,000 short. We're 25% short on recruiting requirements because the military has been captured by DEI woke ideology and nobody wants to fight and die for Canada. So now we're bringing in unhealthy, overweight people to do the job for us. Isn't that wonderful? Remember how society used to look in Canada? This is from 1966. And what I want you to note is the cleanliness, the dressing, how safe everybody is. There's no graffiti. Isn't that amazing? And now Canada, who wants to fight a massive trade war with the United States and is threatening violence and is threatening war crimes through Doug Ford, this is what we look like now. And it's important to remember, this is not just a left-wing problem. The Conservatives have been voting for this stuff too, whether at the provincial level in Ontario or at the federal level, C4, C16, various bills that enshrine this madness into the law. That's Canada now. We're not really equipped to fight wars. Meanwhile, Doug Ford is glad-handing with Mark Carney, and you can see they actually, I'm told that they cut out a hug. They actually embraced. You can see Dougie going for it. But they figured they shouldn't post a picture of Doug hugging Carney because that would just go too far, as if this isn't far enough already. When's Ford going to meet with Polyev? And now we're going to take a minute. We're going to listen to Secretary Lutnick. This is the person that Ford came out looking nervous as a sheep facing a wolf, pale in the face, claiming that this man extended an olive branch and that Ontario was merciful towards the United States. Let's listen to Lutnick describe the exact same interaction.
So that's what I'm working for.
So you're saying when it looks chaotic and unpredictable from the outside that there actually is a master plan when it comes to these tariffs?
It is not chaotic. And the only one who thinks it's chaotic is someone who's being silly. He said reciprocal tariffs.
Nobody expected him to announce 50% tariffs this morning.
He needed to break some guy in Ontario who said he was going to tax American energy 25%. The President of the United States in the White House says, oh, no, you won't, and breaks him. Breaks him in what? By a tweet and a truth. And you think that's chaotic? You know what I think that is? I think that is the thank God we have a president who's taking care of us. Because if you were in one of those states and you thought your energy prices were going to go up 25% and you said, where's the president? And all of a sudden he came down like thunder to make that end, you'd say.
There's Ford's olive branch. That's. And here is Doug Ford explaining the interaction to Mark Carney, his new leader. Well, he was going to take my head and just grind it into the floor like this, back and forth. Now, on this channel, we're fond of telling the truth about Liberals and Carney and Justin Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh and the NDP, but we also tell the truth about the CPC and the PPC, and that can be a little bit controversial, but we're not here to play politics, and I'm not here to tell you how to vote. I'm here to tell you the truth, and we have to have a history lesson today to understand that one of the reasons Canada is being targeted by the United States to try and clean us up. It's not just the money laundering. It's not just the organized crime, all these things that we've already put paid to. It's also the sellout of Canada to China. And we have to go back to 2014 to understand that the Harper government ratified something called the Canada-China Foreign Investment Deal, or the Foreign Investment Promotion and Protection Agreement. Nice sounding name. The Canadian public has been offered no opportunity to clarify the details of the agreement or discuss its economic or environmental implications, even though FIPA is the most significant trade and investment deal in Canada's history since NAFTA. Do you know about it? The deal was signed secretly with China in Vladivostok, Russia, in September of 2012, and it took a good amount of time before Canadians even found out that it had happened. Critics expressed concern over FIPA after Prime Minister Stephen Harper approved the $15.1 billion acquisition of Canadian-owned Nexen Incorporated by the Chinese national offshore oil company CNOOC, a state-owned enterprise. The presence of massive Chinese state-owned investments in Canada have led some to worry over the legal significance of FIPA. Kai Nagata, Energy and Democracy Director for the Dogwood Initiative, a democracy advocacy organization, said this treaty takes decision-making power away from Canadian citizens and puts the future of our economy in the hands of China's state-owned corporate behemoths. This is serious implications for our democracy, and that's why so many true conservatives are worried. I'm going to tell you right now, the difference with this deal is that it allows disputes about how laws and regulations here in Canada or even court decisions have been made to be decided outside of the realm of Canadian courts. The Chinese have an enormous amount of power over your country. The Foreign Interference Commission that we just went through, it's just a charade. It's just distraction chicken. We got the triads, which we have proved on this channel. We've got the organized crime, the money laundering that's making housing unaffordable, along with mass immigration. But as I've evolved over the last 2 months making these reports and doing my research, I figured out that money laundering might actually be a bigger factor when it comes to the high cost of living here in Canada, driving everything up, because we are literally laundering billions and billions and billions of dollars every single year. So when the conservatives say, bring homes to the homes and all their different slogans, they're not actually telling you the truth either. Now, this was challenged by the First Nations, and they lost that challenge because the courts, even back then, are captured. We're not about Canadian sovereignty here. We're not about independence. All of these people, when I talk about 51st state and I talk about statehood, I talk about independence for the Western Canadians who have been repressed for 150 years by Ottawa. They call me a traitor, but none of them did anything about this. None of them have been talking about this for the last 10 years. None of them want to admit that our sovereignty has been undermined and sold off already, not just by the Trudeau and NDP coalition, but by the Harper government before them. Now, people seem to forget that Maxim Bernier was the second most powerful man in the Harper government. Even after he had a huge scandal where he lost a bunch of secret documents, he came back into the government and was welcomed with open arms by Stephen Harper. This is a speech published in 2016, the Canada-China Free Trade Speech. And in it, he notes, this is why, he proudly notes, this is why our government signed free trade deals with the European Union and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Any of you remember that sovereignty-killing deal? Here's Bernier, very proud of it. Clearly, the Trudeau government must stop delaying and ratify these agreements. Mr. Bernier was pro-globalist. He helped bring home the agendas under Harper, and here he is being very proud of that legacy. And then he goes on to cite the International Monetary Fund. China has surpassed the United States as the world's largest economy. I was pleased to be part of a conservative government that recognized this trend and adopted several measures to deepen our relations with this market. Our conservative government achieved the first Chinese currency trading hub in the Americas, an agreement which forms the legal basis for protecting Canadian investments in the Chinese market. That's not what happened at all. This is political spin. We surrendered to China before Trudeau even came along. He furthered along a trend that was already well ensconced. The Canada-China Economic Complementary Study, which is the initial roadmap for launching free trade negotiations. Securing Saskatchewan uranium sales to the Chinese market. Why wouldn't we sell our strategic enemies, a totalitarian communist nation, uranium to feed their nuclear industry. We're selling them beef. We're doing all this. This whole thing is a critique of the speed at which Trudeau is going in terms of selling Canada out. Nobody in the Harper government was a greater champion for throwing the door wide open to China than Maxime Bernier. He wanted to sell it all off. He was proud of it. Now, Maxime Bernier has done everything in his power to erase from the internet the facts of the matter that he was instrumental in the sellout of this country to China. But the Wayback Machine remembers, which is why we have that speech and several others. We're going to read from one more, but first, let's hear Max talk about China.
Big governments keep saying that we need more government programs and more government spending to help the poor because they are being treated unfairly in a free economy. But we know that is completely nonsense. Hundreds of millions of people, the poorest people of the world, have been lifted out of poverty in China, in India, and in other third world countries in recent decades because they have less government and more freedom.
He's the champion of Canada. He's going to save us all. They have less government and more freedom in China. Maxime Bernier. And here is another excerpt from a speech that dear leader PPC hero man gave about China when he was running for leader of the Conservative Party. Today we face an open invitation from China to launch free trade negotiations. This is an opportunity. Justin Trudeau has decided to take a go slow approach to trade with China. This will not help build Canada's economy. Consistent engagement, not hesitant engagement, means launching free trade negotiations now. Otherwise, Canadian exports to China will continue to face tariffs in all sectors. We charge them tariffs, but I digress. If I'm elected leader of the Conservative Party of Canada and ultimately Prime Minister of Canada, I will seek to expand trade. First, I will take all the necessary steps to ensure that the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement with Europe are ratified immediately. I will expedite the current negotiations for a Canada-India Free Trade Agreement and ensure that free trade negotiations are launched with Britain. And the cornerstone of my plan for trade will be to immediately launch formal negotiations with China to secure a Canada-China free trade agreement. He wanted to sell the country off in a fire sale. And you people are heroes. Listen, the smart among you, and I don't know how many are left in the PPC, but the smart among you will say, in 2019, that changed. Do you know why he changed his policy in 2019? Because I told him to. I said it was completely untenable. If we were going to build the PPC and I was going to be a part of it, he had to drop the China garbage. And we were supposed to be building a party of the people, a party that's never had a founding convention, a party that doesn't have a constitution, a party. In 2019, when we were building the People's Party, we had electoral district associations in all the ridings. Now we have a corporatocratic structure where it's regional and the regional managers impose upon the electoral districts their choice of candidates. Sometimes they have votes, sometimes they're parachuted in, like Trevor Walk, the rub and tug guy, or many other of Maxime Bernier's personal choices, which were absolutely terrible. Why do PPC bots ignore his history? I never ignored his history. I said, hey, man, I know where you were. I know you were in the Harper government. You need to come out and distance yourself from your record. You need to explain why you did what you did and then talk about how changed you are and what you value now. But politicians aren't very good at changing. They're not very good at accepting guilt. So he's hidden from his record. He's purged it from the internet. Why has he done that? Because it's the only way to keep the legal, legitimate scam going. And it is. It's legal. It's might be misleading people. He's telling you that he intends to do one thing, but he doesn't intend to do it at all. He's looking for a piggy bank. Eventually, he's going to leave you high and dry, and the PPC will have no actual structure to keep it moving into the future. Maybe we can save it at that point, but Bernier is toxic waste. It's not about name recognition. Everybody knows his name. They'll never vote for him. Most people are wise to this stuff. It's only PPC people who completely ignore it, which is why you don't grow. It's a fertile field for a new political movement here in Canada, and you guys couldn't win dog catcher anywhere in this country. This is why. And maybe this record, this history with the Conservative Party and their pro-China thing explains why Pierre won't talk about triads here, won't talk about infiltration of Chinese into our government beyond talking points, because he'd be attacking the record of his own party, which he, as well as Bernier, were part of. That's my idea anyway. Pierre has lost his grip. 50% import tariffs on metals instead of diplomacy. He's positioned less reasonably regarding Trump, catering to liberals who want him to resist their pro-Trump branding, a game he can't win. And it's Canadians who pay his tariffs. So Pierre has aligned with Team Canada, with Doug Ford, with Mark Carney, with Jagmeet Singh when it comes to America. He's treating them as an enemy. America has called us out for what is going on here. The criminality, China, the whole game. And I think the reason Pierre is responding how he is number one, he's catering to the center, which loses conservatives elections every single time. Number two, what is this new branding? What happened to organic Pierre? What happened to apple eating Pierre? Now he's scripted. He's got talking points, but the liberals have outmaneuvered him and they've robbed him of two of his key talking points. One was Trudeau, that he wasn't Trudeau. Well, Trudeau's gone now. The second was the carbon tax. Carney, whether you believe him or not, has said he will repeal the carbon tax. He's just as believable as Pierre is on this because we can't expect either of them to keep their word. They don't have to. Many conservatives are arguing that Pierre today, the one that's doing all this talking point stuff, is lying to secure the vote. I see it all the time in my comments section. Give him a break, Frank. The real Pierre will come out as soon as he wins the election. So I'm supposed to reward a guy who's like, that's, it's so weird. The story is he's lying. So I have to reward him for lying and trust that he's going to give me something. Meanwhile, there's nothing organic about this. This is one of the most produced images, whether it's the videos, the memes. I don't understand what the Conservative Party strategy is today. And I did speak to an actor friend of mine. He is of some repute and some range, and he's a Conservative Party supporter. He donates to them and he donates to conservative causes. And he's a smart and shrewd man and very successful. And he said to me in the conversation with his actor's eyes, because one of the reasons I like having a wide variety of friendships, and well, I should say he is a friend, but mainly I have a lot of acquaintances from different fields. And I listen to what they have to say because they have a different frame of reference from me. And they can teach me things and they can share with me how they see the world through their professional eyes, living the life that they live. And if you pay attention and put yourself in their shoes, you learn some things. And with an actor's eyes, he said to me, like, it's like Pierre is playing a different character now. And it really stuck with me because for weeks now, actually since pretty much since Donald Trump's election, but specifically since he was inaugurated, Pierre's method and approach to politicking is completely different. And you can see it in the poll numbers. Whether you, like I've said before, exclude ICOS and some of these other crazy polls that are such distinct outliers, if you exclude them from the metrics, the Conservative Party is still losing support. They're getting soft. Why are they getting soft? Because when conservatives cater to the left, they lose elections. One of the opportunities that the Conservative Party of Canada has missed is being a voice for peace in Ukraine. The Americans are desperately trying to stop World War III, and all of our politicians in Canada are desperate to embark upon it. And here is Vladimir Putin. The Kursk incursion is over. Ukrainian troops are surrounded. And here he is, appearing in military fatigues and delivering a message to the world that the American brokered ceasefire is not good enough. They want a lasting peace, but the fact is they're winning the war. Every day that the war goes on, their hand is strengthened. And Zelensky is opposing a reasonable resolution to the conflict. He doesn't want to leave anything on the table. He doesn't want to give anything up. And what's going to happen is he's going to lose the entire thing if he doesn't get to the table. Now, let's listen to Zelensky's response.
Dajte nam, dajte, 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 dajte nam, dajte, dajte nam, dajte, 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 dajte Дайте нам, дайте нам гроші. Дайте нам зброю. Дайте нам гроші. Більше снарядів. Дешеві кредити. Дайте нам 300 мільярдів. Дайте нам, дайте більше F-16. Дайте нам зброю. Дайте нам гроші. Дайте зброю, дайте кредити, дайте нам ці гроші. Гроші, гроші. А можна нам взяти 300 мільярдів? Більше снарядів. Дешеві кредити. Дайте нам зброю.
Now, this is a really serious matter because there's a million dead people. They're dying every day. And this man and his corrupt regime, for whatever reason, hasn't received the condemnation here in Canada that it deserves. Instead, they get thunderous applause and millions more dollars and more equipment from our army. We are saber-rattling with the United States. We don't even have an army, and we're sending what little of it we have to Ukraine to fight in a war that this man is losing. And our politicians just want more of it. When will you hold them all accountable equally and stop playing politics? Maybe never. But that's what we do on this channel. We just tell the truth. It's very simple. China is not our friend. Our current Canadian political class are not our friends. When they talk about the resilience of the Canadian people, they mean how much you have capacity to suffer. They will never miss a meal. They will never feel inflation. April 1st, the carbon tax goes up and the Carney government is saying, we don't know how to stop it. They knew how to pass it. And the same day, all of them, all 338, are getting a pay raise. They're rubbing your nose in it. We will prosper into this new century in partnership with the United States and no one else. We have to kick up the World Economic Forum. We have to kick out the United Nations. And we have to take Trump's hand of friendship and understand that Fortress North America is the most compelling political idea to come along in 80 to 100 years. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider supporting it via the website, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.